The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Praise God. Praise God. All right. We've been teaching on Tuesday night on the person of the Holy Spirit. And been preaching on Sunday service about him, following him, being led by him. And so many times as you walk with the Lord, there's a point of view that you come in with, either through maybe things you learned when you were younger, or maybe just a point of view you had from living in the world. You know, maybe you were never raised in church or whatever, but you know, at some point in your life, you realize that I'm not doing so good. My life isn't going good. I need a Savior. Amen. And praise God that the Holy Spirit was drawing you to know Jesus as that Savior. And again, you know, when you teach and talk to new Christians, and they're so excited because they have found their Savior, right? And they you know, oftentimes, you know, they knew what they were saved from, if that's, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, but then as they start walking out that righteous life, we find ourselves doing the things we didn't want to do. And Paul talks about this, and I'm going to preach about this today, because I think it's going to help us to know the person of the Holy Spirit even better, okay? So thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come before you and learn your word, Father. Learn more about you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lead us into wisdom, Father, that we would rightly divide your word of truth by your Spirit, Father. That's the only way we can do that. Help us to tune in to your Spirit's frequency. We can hear you clearly, Father, as we're leadable and desirous to follow you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, if you want to take a nap, the next 3 minutes, you probably can. And Lord, and I'm gonna be nice to her. Caleb, I wouldn't be nice to you. John, not going to be nice to you. I'll be nice to you. I'm going to go to Romans 8, 1 through 13 in the Passion in a little while. And you don't have that one. So let's see, I'm giving her advanced. Caleb's like, what? I told you it'd be nice. But let me read. I'm going to read to y'all. Like I say, you can take a nap. Romans 7. I am going to try to read 13 through 25. You'll see what I'm talking about here in a second, okay? I'm reading out of the New King James, okay? Romans 7, verse 13. This is Paul talking. He says, has then what is good become death to me? He's talking about the law. Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commanding, might become exceedingly sinful. That already hurt. Stay with me. For we know that the law is spiritual. Yes, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that's what I do. I think we can all kind of understand that. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Okay. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Okay, I get to blame somebody else. Right? I'm understanding this. It's like, okay, yeah, let's blame that sin. Yeah. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Just, you can keep sleeping. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Again, scapegoat, right? Verse 21, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I understand this part. Verse 24, I get this one. Oh, wretched man that I am. I can't even really understand what you're saying here. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I understand that. I understand through reading those scriptures, I got a problem. And I need help. Whew, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Okay, now you can wake up now. You got to wake up now. Let me read this in the Passion. Okay? It's going to make better sense here. I promise. I promise. Bear with me. Romans 7, verse 13. So did something meant to be good become death to me? It's a question. Certainly not. It was not the law, but sin unmasked that produced my spiritual death. The sacred commandment merely uncovered the evil of sin so it could be seen for what it is. Remember, it says God gave us the law to show us sin, to show us that we're sinners, right? Okay, that's bright. But with my head, I'll make it bright on you too. For we know that the law is divinely inspired and comes from the spiritual realm. But I'm a human being made of flesh and trafficked as a slave under sin's authority. That's where we were. I'm a mystery to myself. Again, I understand that. I'm a mystery to myself. For I want to do what is right, but I end up doing what my moral instincts condemn. And if my behavior is not in line with my desire, my conscience still confirms the excellence of the law. And now I realize it's no longer my true self doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin in my humanity. Talking about my flesh. For I know that nothing good lives within the flesh of my fallen humanity. The longings to do what is right are within me, but willpower is not enough to accomplish it. Does the people understand this? We're going to get somewhere today. Verse 19. My lofty desires to do what is good are dashed when I do the things I want to avoid. Right? And you get bummed out, right? Okay. So if my behavior contradicts my desires to do good, I must conclude that it's not my true identity doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin hindering me from being who I really am. Through my experience of this principle, I discover that even when I want to do good, evil is ready to sabotage me. Are you understanding that? Yeah. Truly, deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God. But I discern another power operating in my humanity, in my flesh, waging a war against the moral principles of my conscience, that would be your soul, and bringing me into captivity as a prisoner to the law of sin, this unwelcome intruder in my humanity or my flesh. What an agonizing situation I'm in. So who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the unwelcome intruder of sin and death? Verse 25, I give all thanks to God, for his mighty power has finally provided a way out through our Lord Jesus, the anointed one. So if left to myself, the flesh is aligned with the law of sin, but now my renewed mind is fixed on and submitted to God's righteous principles. Amen. Do we understand that better? See, I'm studying this out, right? And we talk about having to crucify the flesh. That's in Galatians 5. Because it's always going to be there. Because sin is in the world. And it's trying to sabotage me in my soul, man, in my mind. You know, Dad and I were talking about this verse, and it's the flesh that wars against my soul. The flesh wars against my soul. The spirit wars for my soul. Right? Because he already has ownership of me, but he's training me. He's warring for me as the flesh wars against me, sabotaging what I'm trying to do. Have you ever like read something in the Word, you know, like what Hannah was saying? All right, I believe God's Word and that's true, but what I'm seeing, I'm not going to believe that. And your eyes start seeing more and more, more and more. And so, you know, for me, I'm like, well, I'm going to believe harder. Well, my willpower ain't going to do it. I mean, right? I mean, how many times have you tried to will to do something and you end up just frustrated? Because you, listen, you, Monty, cannot defeat sin and death. Can't do it. But the one inside of me has already defeated it. He's already defeated it. Jesus defeated it and put his spirit inside of me to war for me in order that I can be delivered from the sabotaging work of the enemy through the flesh. And we could probably just end right there. I mean, but guys, this is a concept that Christians fall short of, because, you know, so many times Christians get sin conscious, okay? They're very aware of their sin, and Satan takes advantage of that. Because now he wants you to focus on what you're not doing. You're doing the things you don't want to do, but let's focus on the things you're not wanting to do that you end up doing so that you can stay condemned, right, and ineffective. I have all these other scriptures, but you know, God knew what he was doing. When you go from Romans 7, you know what you go to next? Romans 8. I'm pretty sharp, huh? Yeah. And I'm going to read it in the Passion right away. 8:1. Look what it says. So now the case is closed. I love how it says it. It's settled. It's a done deal. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. That should settle it for you. When you've accepted him, ABCs, accept him and admitted, hey, I have sinned. I needed a Savior because I couldn't do it. I believe Jesus is my Savior. I confess that with my mouth. The Holy Spirit comes inside of me, and the case is closed. It's a done deal. I'm his. I'm his kid. No take backs. No refunds. No take backs. A done deal. Bought and paid for. And it was paid by the precious, precious blood of Jesus. And he paid for you, and he paid for me, that sabotageur will not be successful. He will not be. You know how it says we war not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, the worlds of darkness, this world? Yeah, we war, but he has delivered us and won the war. We're just working out that victory in our soul. We're working it out. We're being trained in our mind to follow the Spirit's leading. And so even when I find myself making a mistake, getting off track, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn me. He encourages me. He convicts me. He says, no, there's a better way. There's a better way into freedom. But it's only the truth I know that'll set me free, right? And where's the truth? In God's Word. He delivers us by his Spirit, and it's through faith. We have to believe. Remember, it's all about believing and obeying. Because what is sin? Disobedience to God. Can I just say that, right? Any sin, whichever one. You know, we've all got our little sin list. These ones up here, really bad. These ones down here, well, I don't know. All of that list from the very top through the end of all your thoughts and imaginations of sin, it's all disobedience to God. All of it, right? That's why, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we're all sinners who needed a Savior. And see, Jesus knew that. That's why he paid the price. He paid the price in full. And he, remember, I'm throwing about 10 teachings at you at once, but if you'll get this and put it together, it'll be like a parfait of truth. Shrek, huh? Parfait, it layers. But it's all truth and it's all good, right? You guys know Shrek. The point is this. We have to know the truth for the truth to set us free. The truth is in God's word. The people who don't know the truth, they know that their lives aren't good. You don't have to go tell someone that their life's not good, that you know, the people that aren't saved, you know. They know it. They just don't know the truth that can set them free. They don't know him. But the Holy Spirit of truth is drawing them. That's why we want to be effective and not tied up in our own sin nature, focusing on sin. Because when we're focused on sin and focused on condemnation and in that big circle, you're ineffective to be the tool God wants us to be, advancing his kingdom. Because remember, God's kingdom is being advanced in people. Doesn't matter what it looks like with our eyes. Doesn't. I don't get worked up about what I see anymore. I really don't. It's like, well, yeah, God told us it'd be this way. But he gave us power. Through who? The Holy Spirit that's inside of us. And so now I listen to him to give me a spiritual truth. Because that spiritual truth will set me free in that situation that I'm working through. See, Satan's always trying to condemn me, get me to feel guilty. Right? Get me to think about what you did. And what does he do? Plays it over and over in your head, huh? Where you messed up and you said the wrong thing or you did the wrong thing. Or, you know, in 1987, boy, you were having fun, weren't you? That's why I love that scripture in Psalms about him going into my past and keeping me from that. That's Psalm 139. It's in the Psalms. It's a big one. You'll find it somewhere. Read all of it. It's good. But the point is, we're delivered from all of it. You see, now the case is closed. There's no condemnation. And the accuser of the brethren is going to accuse. Satan's going to keep accusing you. And you're never going to get prettied up enough with good works for Satan not to accuse you. You're not. He's going to accuse you no matter what. He accuses everybody. But we're not condemned by that accusation. Because we've been set free, right? Let me read verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. See, Jesus delivered us from that. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish. Remember, God didn't give us the law to deliver us. He gave it to us to show us we were sinners. Because what did Adam and Eve want to know? They wanted to know the knowledge of good and evil. Well, you want to know? Okay. And humanity spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years realizing that they couldn't fulfill the law as much as they tried. And that's why God came and completed the law in Jesus. That's what it says in Matthew 5 when he's talking. He says, I didn't come to do away with the laws. Jesus telling him, I didn't come to do away with it. Of the laws and the scribes and the Pharisees. I didn't come to do away with it. He says, I came to complete it, fulfill it, because I'm the only one that can. You can't be good enough to pay for your sins. You can't come to church enough, do all the right things enough. But you can believe Jesus. And you can walk in freedom. And then when the sabotager tries to trip you up, you can recognize it for what it is and make a decision in your mind, in your soul, and say, you know what? What's that shirt? Not today, Satan. Not today. Right? And that's freedom, right? I believe. And I'm set free now. And now I'm going to walk out that free life with the fruit of the Spirit coming off of me, with peace and joy. Right? Amen. That's the life I want to live. I'm not under the law of sin and death. Man, I've been delivered from that, and so have you when you're in Christ. Look what it says. Yet God sent us his Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Identify with it. He didn't commit sin, but he identified as human. Clothed with humanity, God's son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. Verse 4. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointed one living his life in us. And we are free to live, not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Whew. Guys, that's why in churches, we got to teach on the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that, his presence inside of me leads me into truth, and that truth sets me free on this walk. Amen? Amen. Like I said, Jesus accomplished his work on this earth for us, for the church age. Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back. Amen. And he's coming back soon. And remember, it says that the governments are on his shoulders, not yours. Hallelujah. Not on yours, on his. I don't have faith in chariots and horses. I have faith in God. Amen? And his good plan for you. You're his kid. He loves you. He's got a good plan for you. Satan has a demonic, devilish plan for you too. He's trying to trip you up into it every day. But again, not today. Because we're going to make a choice. I'm going to recognize the sabotager guy. Is it saboteur? Is that a word? English is my first language. Kind of. Man. Church, if we can completely let the Holy Spirit lead us into this truth, the truth of his word, the truth that you're free, that you're not under the law of sin and death. Listen, there is a hell. Yep, there is a hell. Do you know the one sin that's going to send you to hell? Unbelief in Jesus. That's the only one. That's it. Talks about the unforgivable sin. You know, when we were kids, what is it? Oh, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Oh, what's that? Oh, what if I did it? Didn't know I did it, but I did it. Now I'm going to go to hell? What's going on? Right? Well, Satan don't mess with you that way, right? The only reason there's an unforgivable sin is because Jesus is the only one that forgives the sins. It's his blood that offers forgiveness, right? When you don't have it, it's not that he doesn't want to, but you denied him. Denying Christ is the only way you go to hell. And here's the thing. We were all going to hell. We were all going to hell before we accepted Christ. So don't say, oh, well, that preacher never preaches about hell. I'm not going to focus on it. Why? Because you're in Christ. Why would I focus on that? I'm not going to, I shouldn't say a town. That's not where we're going to, that town. Why would I talk about that town when we ain't going to that town? We don't have any business there. It's not for us. We have a heavenly Jerusalem. We have a heaven realm that we're planned to go to. We were always intended to be with God. But it was sin that separated us. Whose sin was it? It was ours. Who delivered us from it? Jesus. Right? And then gave us his Holy Spirit, which enables us to live a power-filled life. That's an abundant life. That abundant life has challenges. That's what Hannah was saying. There's challenges. But he provides us a way to meet those challenges and defeat them, each and every one. Count it all joy when various trials and tribulations come for the testing of your faith. Your faith. Your faith. Your faith. What's your faith? Believing. I'm going to keep believing. I believe. I believe. I believe, I believe. I don't care what I see. I don't care how bad it looks. I believe, I believe, I believe. I'm going to keep believing. Because that's what I've decided to do. It is a decision. Am I perfect in it? Nope. But praise God, he was. And his perfect spirit resides inside of me, leading me into that truth that I need so that I can be free from the stuff, the sin that so easily ensnares me, and when it snares me up and holds me up, I can't accomplish what God's telling me to do. See, he hinders, Satan tries to hinder your ministry. You have such a powerful ministry because God loves you so much. You have a powerful ministry. You have a powerful ministry. Who's you? You are you. Each of yous. You're all yous. All yous guys. But it's true. You do. And that's why Jim says we need you. Because God wants you and desires to use you advancing his kingdom in this region. Because he's already conquered sin and death. But there's folks that don't know that. And it's not truth that sets people free. It's the truth they know that sets them free. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa-oh. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble.